Yeah. So I'm going to be speaking on Renewing the Mind, which is part of our Pathways to Blessing series. And first of all, I just want to... where's the clicker? Here we go. I just wanted to mention what... do I mean by blessings? So a couple of weeks ago, Reuben shared his definition of blessings. Sally shared her definition of blessing last week. What do I think about when I'm thinking about blessing? Well, in the words of Paul, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. If in the trials of life, in the ups and downs, if in the plenty, if in the lack, if you can be content, you are blessed. Okay? And that takes a challenge for many of us. And the challenge is we need to have our minds renewed so that we can get to that place of no matter what we have or don't have, whether life is easy, whether life is hard, that we can be content. We need to have our minds renewed to get there. So how do we get to be content? We get there through being transformed. Through being continually filled with God's Spirit, as Sally mentioned last week, and through renewing the mind. Okay? Now, first of all, I have to say that I am not, whilst I'm going to be talking about renewing the mind, I am not a psychiatrist. I've never studied psychology. So I'm bringing my kind of thoughts and based on my experience in the classroom, based on my experience as a coach and a mentor to people. But I am not trained in psychology. So being aware of that, on Friday I spoke to Tyro. For those that don't know, Tyro was one of our elders until relatively recently. And I went through what I was going to say to him just to pick his brains, make sure I wasn't saying anything stupid. But Tyro is a child psychiatrist. And he also says hello. Okay? Okay. So, how do we get to renew our mind? And where does this phrase come from? Well, we're looking at Romans 12. And Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. And I'm going to start with that last bit, the discerning of the will of God. Okay? I went on a journey a couple of years ago. I was working over in Barrow, in Furness, I think it was. It was a dark night. It was cold. It was wet. It was, spray and everything. And my car window on the driver's side got splattered with spray, the wing mirror. I couldn't see kind of the reflection of what was coming up on my right hand side. And so I decided, right, I'm going to pull into the service station, use my water bottle, clean the window. So I pulled in. I couldn't quite see, the other cars on the side. So I thought, well, I'll wind down my window. So I wound down my window. I parked. I got my water bottle. I squirted the mirror. I squirted the window. And then I realized I hadn't done the window back up again. And the inside of the car covered in water. And it was a great journey for the rest of the way. Why am I telling you that? If you want to see clearly and discern clearly the will of God for your life, you need to unclutter your thinking. You need to get rid of the debris, get rid of the dirt, get rid of the spray, get rid of the muck that life just throws at us and can take root in our thinking. We need to get rid of that so that we can discern the will of God. And how do we get rid of it? By renewing our minds. I also just want to say that before I go too far in, there are some people who, for various reasons with dealing with mental health, need to have extra support. Medical, they might need to take a medication or something like that in order to help them. There is no shame in that. What I am saying here is not to undermine if that is the case. If you break your leg, you get it put in plaster. Okay? And sometimes we do need support. Yes, God does heal us. And I'm going to come on to that later. But sometimes we need support, and there is no shame in that. But what we do is we renew our minds so that we can bring our thinking, so that we can bring our mental health into line with what God sees, with how God sees us. So our minds are really powerful. Now, the Bible says that the tongue is really powerful. It's like the rudder of a ship. But often the tongue says what the mind thinks. The mind is powerful. And our minds can take us to a place of contentment, or it can take us to a place of desperation, depending on what is going through our thinking. Our minds can take us to a place of blessing, to a place of wholeness, or it can take us to a place of sin. There's a story of King David. All the kings have gone off to war, and he is standing on the roof. He hasn't gone to war. He's decided, he's had a thought, I'm not going to go to war this spring. So he's standing there on the roof of his palace, and he looks over and he sees Bathsheba. The Bible says she was beautiful. So he looks at her and he thinks, who is that? And then he thinks, I wonder if I could get to know her. And then he thinks, I'm going to call her over. And then he thinks, I'm going to sleep with her. And then he has her husband killed. Okay? Started with a thought. One thought, I'm not going to go to war. And his thought spiraled to sin. But there's also another story that we see in the New Testament of a woman with an issue of blood. She has one thought. There's this person walking through my town who has seen healings, who has healed people of their sicknesses, and I have been sick for years. One thought, I'm going to go and see him. Which then leads to, I'm going to go and reach out and touch his robe, his cloak. Which then leads to, I'm going to push through this crowd even though they don't want me here. Which then leads to, I'm grabbing his cloak. Which leads to a healing. And her life is transformed. But it started with one thought. The thought of, Jesus is a healer and he's coming to my town. Our thoughts, our minds are very, very powerful. And we have to bring them into submission to what God thinks about us. Okay? Okay. So, how do we renew our mind? Well, first of all, we renew our mind through seeing our lives through God's eyes. It is so, so easy to have a thought in my head that is a lie. I can have quite a sense of humour that can put myself down. Okay, so I can say, oh, you know, a bit like with the window, you know. I can do that. I can put myself down with my humour. And I once thought to myself, why do I do this? And this was the thought process. I thought, well, if it makes people laugh, then they feel good. Doesn't matter how I'm, you know, about speaking about me. But the reality is I can very easily speak a lie over myself in that humour. Okay? I can't afford to have a thought in my head that God doesn't have in his. It was Bill Johnson who said that. I cannot afford to have a thought in my head that God doesn't have in his. So if I say to myself, I cannot prophesy, that is a lie. That is not a thought I should entertain. I have been baptized in his spirit. Paul said, eagerly desire the greater gifts. So why would Paul say, eagerly desire the greater gifts, if I can't do it, if I can't access that? It's a lie. I cannot afford to entertain that thought in my mind, because if I do, it will become my reality. What I think becomes my reality. I cannot afford to have a thought in my mind that isn't in God's. And we need to be quite careful about this. We need to think about ourselves, what God thinks about us. And God says about us, you are special. You are adopted. You are my chosen ones. I have gifted you. I have given you everything to live a life of holiness. You have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2. You have the mind of Christ. But we need to apply it to ourselves. We need to think about ourselves in that way. I was working it out about 36 years ago. God gave me a word and he said, you will be in church leadership. So I thought about that. I weighed that word. I prayed about that word. So when it comes to renewing our mind, it's really, really important that we consider, what does God say about the thoughts that we have in our mind? Is this thought process of God, or is this thought process of me? So when we come to renewing our mind, it's really important that we ask ourselves, I've had this thought. This thought might be, I cannot prophesy. Is that true? So we weigh it against Scripture. Scripture says, eagerly desire the greater gifts. So that thought cannot be true. So I have to cast it out. I have to get rid of it. The thought of, you're going to be in church leadership. Is that true? Well, I go to Scripture. And Scripture says there are elders who lead the church. So it does meet the scriptural bit about having churches with leaders. So I then pray about it and I ask God, what do you say about this? Is this your word for me? And in that moment, God said yes. And I carried that for 36 years. So we need to have God's thinking in our minds. We need to see ourselves as God sees us. We cannot afford to entertain lies. We cannot afford to entertain thoughts that are not God's thoughts. So we have to see ourselves as God sees us. As it says at the bottom, well, up there, which I might be in the way. The other thing we need to do when we're renewing our mind is we need to fill our minds with new thoughts. I've alluded to that already. We need to fill our minds with new thoughts. Renew means put new in. We need to put new thoughts in our thinking. So if we have thoughts in our head that are negative, that are unhelpful, we need to take those thoughts captive. Get rid of them. Replace them with God's thoughts. In the Freedom in Christ course, we have declarations. And we're doing Freedom in Christ with some students at the moment. It's going really well. It's great. Pray for them because, you know, this can be really transformative. But one of the things that we do as part of the Freedom in Christ course is we do declarations. We declare God's truth over ourselves. And we need to do that ourselves regularly. So when you do the Freedom in Christ course, you get a card, okay? And you have all these statements on the card. And we encourage you to read those out over yourself every day. Let those truths get inside you. Let those truths take root within you. We need to speak God's truth over ourselves. One of the ways that we can come unstuck in our thinking is through comparison. How many people scroll through, well, I would say Facebook, but for the younger people, I don't think they do that now, but Instagram, social media. How many of us scroll through and then start in our minds to compare ourselves with others? Last Sunday, Ian did an amazing job of taking us into encounter with Jesus, with his Holy Spirit, through his Holy Spirit. It was a phenomenal time, really, really good. And I'm sitting there all Sunday and I could be thinking to myself, wow, I didn't get that sense of let's do this. Does that mean I'm not quite as spiritual as Ian? Does that mean I'm not quite as good an elder as Ian? That would be unhelpful thinking. We've got to be careful we don't fall into comparison with others. There's a mental health, we hear about it on the news with crisis with young people. But often what they're doing is they're comparing themselves to others. And it's unhelpful. We've got to get rid of those thoughts. We've got to get rid of the, I'm not as good as that. I'm not as pretty as that. I'm not as strong as that. I'm not as quick as that. I'm not as clever as that. We've got to get rid of those thoughts because God has made you who you are. You, each of us, you, me, we are unique. We are made in the image of God. So how can we say that we're less than someone else? Because to say that we're less than someone else is to say that God didn't do a good enough work job with us. But God says to you, you are special. You are my special creation. I love you. I made you. You are made in my image. You have the passage of, should the foot say to the ear and should the eye say to the hand and all the rest of it. Comparison is wrong. We should not entertain comparison. I was going to say, but it would go against my thing about, putting myself down in my humour. But I'll say it anyway, and you can tell me off later. I was going to say, sometimes I see myself as the little toe of the kingdom, right? But I have stubbed my little toe before, and it has a dramatic impact on the rest of my body. Yeah? Yeah? Doesn't matter. I cannot compare myself to others and say, I am less than them. I am less than them. I'm not as good as that. Because God says to me, Keith, you are my special creation. I made you to be the way that you are. Rejoice in how I have made you to be. And I'm standing here holding this thing. I've not moved it on. So, renew our mind. One of the things that Tyro made a comment on when I spoke to him was he said, as you renew your mind, so it will be easier for you to discern God's will. The more you discern God's will for your life, the easier it is to renew your mind because you will see yourself more and more as God sees you. And so it becomes cyclic. Furthermore, as our thinking changes, as we change what's going on up here, so our feelings change. As our feelings change, so our behavior changes. As our behavior changes, so how we think about ourselves changes. There are cycles, but the key element is how do we see ourselves? How do we think ourselves? If we're wrestling with how we think ourselves, we need to renew our minds. So how else can we renew our minds? Well, I've already alluded to it. 1 Corinthians 10 says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. So I'm going to ask a question. Spiders, creature that is beautiful, amazing, God's creation, or spawn of the devil when you see it crawling across the floor of your lounge? All right? Johnny, I have never seen Johnny move so quickly as that evening when we were doing a Freedom in Christ session in our house and this spider crept out from under the TV unit. He was over the sofa like a flash. Is that fair? Yeah. In our house, I am the spider catcher. I have literally come into the hallway and seen Sally standing at the bottom of the stairs, eye to eye with a spider, three steps up. I'm not moving because if I move, you might move, and then we can't get rid of you. Fair? Yeah. So I have to get rid of these spiders. So I take those spiders captive. But I am not walking around with lots of spiders in my pocket, you'll be pleased to know. We take every thought captive such that we can release it to Jesus. We take every thought captive such that we can release it to Jesus. We do not take thoughts captive so that we can hold them. We take them captive so that we can release them to Jesus. Now, let me just clarify that. First of all, I am not saying here that you should not have, every now and again, the wrong thought come into your mind. That would be impossible. I have wrong thoughts every now and again. It's an elder. You can't do that. I do. I have wrong thoughts every now and again. It's what I do with that thought that matters. As the age-old saying goes, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from making a nest in your hair. Alan has taken the most drastic measures to make sure that no birds make a nest in his hair. Yeah, we can't stop the thoughts from appearing. There will be times when negative, unhelpful thoughts do crop up in your thinking. But you don't have to entertain it. You don't have to hold on to it. You take that thought captive. You test it against Scripture. You pray about it. And then if it passes the test, dwell on it. If it doesn't, reject it. Release it to Jesus and pray, Jesus, I have had this bad thought about myself. I release it to you. Will you tell me? Will you show me how you see me? Will you show me what you think of me? Will you give me your thoughts? Jesus is all about great exchanges. And if we come to him with a thought that is wrong and we say, Jesus, I've had this thought. It is not right. It doesn't line up with Scripture. It doesn't sit right when I pray about it. I release it to you, Lord. Will you give me your thought instead? Will you show me what you think about me instead? And Jesus will do that. We do not take thoughts captive so that we can hang on to them. We take them captive so that we can test them. We weigh and we pray. Now, it's interesting that in both the last two sermons, we've talked about this comparison, word and spirit. And both Reuben and Sally talked about how it's not one or the other, it's both. When we take a thought captive, we test it, we weigh it against Scripture. We pray it by asking, Holy Spirit, is this right? Now, I'm not talking about every thought. I'm not talking about whether to wear a waistcoat. Do you like my waistcoat? It's new. Okay? People say, you got a shirt on, you must be preaching. Yeah. But yeah, we're not talking about those thoughts. We're not talking about the way you drive home. We're not talking about what you do in your job. We're talking about those thoughts that take us to identity. I cannot prophesy would be a thought about my identity. It is a thought that I should be testing. And if it doesn't pass the test, which it doesn't, I reject it. I leave it with Jesus. And I ask him what he thinks about me. And he says, you can do all things through Christ. So you weigh and you pray when those thoughts about your identity spring into your thinking. Right, where am I up to? Okay. To dwell on a thought is to chew it over and over in your thinking. When I'm talking to people in coaching sessions, I'll often ask them, what does your internal monologue say? What's your internal monologue saying? Is it saying good things or is it saying bad things? Is it positive or is it negative? It's so easy to fall into a negative internal monologue. Well, I find it easy anyway. You might all be sitting there thinking, what's he on about? I don't have this problem. But I can very easily fall into a negative internal monologue. I have to reject it and replace it with a positive internal monologue. If you have a negative internal monologue that says, you cannot do this, you're not good enough, you're not this, you're not that, you're not the other, that will take you down. It will take you out of the place where God is. You won't be able to discern God's will. But if your internal monologue is one of positive thinking, if your internal monologue is one of, I am a child of God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I have been made in his image, I have the mind of Christ. If that is our internal monologue, then faith rises. Many years ago, I felt God say to me that I would see a revival. I have held that for decades. First of all, it passes the test of, is it scriptural? Yeah, because God wants to do a work amongst his people and into the nations. I pray about it. God, is this from you? And I get that sense of yes. And so over the decades, as I have engaged my imagination has been redeemed, just like everyone else's. As I engage my imagination and I think about what it might look like, what it might feel like, how it might be, as I've dwelt on God wanting to move in his people and then reaching out into the nations, what I have found is that faith has risen within me. And I now am totally convinced of that, that I will see that. I have faith. Unshakable faith. But it's because I have dwelt on it. I have prayed it. I have thought about it. I have left it with God. Our internal monologue can either be positive or negative. If our internal monologue is negative, we weigh it, we pray it, we get rid of it. Right, where am I up to? That was to do with the internal monologues. Things swirling around your head. I've got carried away. Okay. I'm going to invite the band to come back up. But in summary, when it comes to renewing our mind, first of all, we renew our mind so that we can discern God's will for us. If we have a cluttered mind, if our mind is full of unhelpful, negative thinking, we cannot discern God's will for us. And I'm not talking about emptying our mind like Eastern meditation. I'm talking about fill our thinking with thoughts that God has. I cannot afford to have a thought in my head that's not in his. But I can afford to have plenty of thoughts in my head that are in his. Okay? It's important that I see myself as God sees me. It is important that I declare truth over myself and develop a positive internal monologue. And I weigh and pray thoughts that are linked to identity. Anything that doesn't pass the test, I release it to Jesus. Jesus, take this thought, give me your thoughts. But anything that does pass the test, I dwell on. And I let it feed my faith, feed my spirit. Because then I'll be in a place to step out. We're going to have two elements to our ministry time this morning. First of all, we are going to do some declarations. I'm not a great fan of liturgy. It's not me. It's not who I am. But speaking truth together as a community over ourselves is really, really important. So we are going to speak truth. I'm going to step down off the stage. Hopefully you can see that. I have asked musicians, are you able to speak it out through the microphone to add your volume to it so that it's less self-conscious for people? So we are going to speak, and there's two slides. We are going to speak these over ourselves. I would like you to stand, if you are able, to speak it over yourself. But do this from a place of, I believe these words. These are truths that we're going to speak over ourselves. And then when we've read these two out, when we've declared them over ourselves, I'm going to hand back to Ryan, who's going to take us into a song. And I'm going to invite anyone here who really struggling with this thought process of taking thoughts captive, I'm going to invite you, if you want to come out for prayer, the ministry team will be out the front. But I want to leave you with this thought. Victory over your mind is in Jesus. Isaiah 53 says, by his stripes we are healed. By the whip marks on his back, we have physical healing. There was a crown of thorns put on his head as a mockery of the fact that he said he was the king of Jews. He was the king of Jews. In fact, he's the king of creation. But I believe in that moment when the crown of thorns was put on his head, it was also a prophetic statement saying that the mind of people, the mind of man, it can be taken captive by the enemy. And when it went on Jesus' head, he said, I am winning the victory over your thinking. Victory over your thoughts is there in Christ Jesus, because the crown of thorns was put on his head and he defeated that thought process by his death on the cross. So we're going to read these, and then if you want prayer, do come out. Okay? I'm going to step back out of the way. Okay, so let's say it with conviction. I am God's child and a friend of Jesus. I am united with the Lord and I am one with him in spirit. I have the mind of Christ. I have been bought with a price and I belong to God. I am a member of Christ's body. I have been chosen by God and adopted as his child. The enemy cannot touch me. I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. I have direct access to the throne of grace through Jesus. I am free from condemnation. God works for good in all circumstances. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. I am seated with Jesus Christ in heavenly places. I can approach God with freedom and confidence. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Believe it. This is truth.